It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether that be live here at Joy 620 at 5 o'clock, or you are listening via podcast or the archive of the show. You can find at our website, investinghope.com. You can also go to iTunes or TuneIn app or wherever podcasts are found to listen to the show. Today, we're going to do what we do every week. We're going to talk about life and abortion and the issues that are facing us as a state, as a country, as a pro-life movement. We're going to look at what the abortion industry is currently doing, as many of them are passing out flyers right now, attacking pregnancy centers. And I'll just say this, when the abortion giant is on the defense, the pro-life movement is doing something right. So the abortion industry and the lobbyists are sense that they have to come out and attack pregnancy centers, and they're doing that because they see the writing on the wall, and they see that polls are shifting, they see that legislatures are shifting, and that the heart of the people is, in fact, shifting. And so we're going to talk about that here in a little while. First, I want to start with an article out of the Gospel Coalition. And if you're familiar with that website, you should be. They have a lot of great resources and articles that that makes the Christian think and helps us in processing some information. And it's just a great resource, and so I would strongly encourage it to you. But there was an article there from someone that I really respect and appreciate just the other day. His name is Joe Carter, and he writes, he's a big-time deep thinker and writes a lot of great pieces for the Gospel Coalition, ERLC, and other places to help the Christian think through legislative issues, to help the Christian think through racism, to help the Christian think through pro-life, pro-choice issues. What he does really well is writing explainers on certain issues. So if the Supreme Court comes out with a decision, he's really great. Joe Carter's really great at writing an explainer and helping us decide and figure out what the decision actually means. Well, in the past few weeks, we have talked about the pro-life movement and incrementalism, and we talked about how there are some folks that prescribe to incrementalists, that they would call themselves incrementalists when it comes to the pro-life issue. And what that means is the desire to slowly chip away at Roe v. Wade. And so we see things like the 20-week ban. We see things like the 48-hour waiting period in the state of Tennessee. We see things like some of these heartbeat bills, or the bill that passed Tennessee in this past legislative session that simply said, if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, the state of Tennessee will not perform abortions. And so we that's an incrementalist approach. And then you have another approach that would be kind of the all-in, let's put all our chips on the table, what some would call the immediate list. What that looks like is, look, we want to see an end to abortion immediately. And if you push for any other type of legislative policy, then you are wrong, and you are taking us backwards. We want to end it, and we want to end it today. If I'll be, just to be transparent with you, I am somewhere in between. I want to see abortion ended immediately, but I don't think it's sinful and wrong for us to seek incremental change where we can. And so I'm for both of these paths, if we can see that within the legislative body, whether that be in our state or at a federal level. But I do want to read some of what Joe Carter wrote. And again, this is at the Gospel Coalition. It's called In Defense of Pro-Life Incrementalism. And Joe Carter does prescribe himself as being an incrementalist. And so let's go through some of what he wrote. So he said, last month, Alabama passed the strictest abortion ban in the nation. And of course, we talked about it here on the show. Most legal experts believe the law will be struck down by the federal courts and that the Supreme Court will simply ignore it. But while it won't be effective in ending abortions, the law has been successful in relaunching the decades-old debate between two groups of pro-lifers, incrementalist and immediatist. Pro-life incrementalism means supporting legislative actions that affirm, protect, and desire to protect the unborn and women, reduce abortion, and have the potential to pass current constitutional scrutiny. The alternative for pro-lifers is kind of the immediate approach, the idea that incrementalism should be rejected and that the most or only moral position is the immediate and total abolition of abortion. The extreme form of this position claims that allowing, quote, allowing abortion in some cases along the way to its total abolition is neither strategically sound nor consistently Christian. And then he goes further. Almost all principled pro-lifers are in some sense for the immediate ending of abortion, since our ultimate goal is the immediate end of the practice of abortion. Where the difference lies is the question of what we should do now, since we do not have the power to immediately end abortion. The incrementalist position is that we should work to save what children we can through taking actionable steps to put limits and restrictions on abortion. The immediate position is that we should reject incrementalist legislation and work only for the immediate abolition of human abortion through constant efforts of moral persuasion. Now, I'll stop right there for a second. Here's the thing. I'm in the pro-life movement. I talk to a lot of people within the pro-life movement. I have never heard, now that doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but I have never heard pro-lifers say, look, if that law is going to, the 20-week ban is an incremental approach, we're not going to be in favor of it. You're just not hearing many folks saying that. You're not hearing that from the pro-life movement. You're not hearing that from people that are on the ground doing the work. And also, in the same breath, you're not hearing me come out against a bill in Alabama that says every abortion, effectively, is banned in that state. And I'm not going to be against that. Now, do I believe that's going to be fought in the courts? Yes. Of course that's a fight in the courts. Of course that in today's time, that may be considered unconstitutional. That may be considered an undue burden by what they found in Casey versus Planned Parenthood in 1992 in the court case. And certainly since Roe v. Wade, that particular legislation in the state of Alabama is not going to meet the standards of Roe v. Wade. But that's the point. As pro-lifers, we believe that Roe v. Wade is wrong. We believe that decision in 1973 is wrong. And so if we believe that to be wrong, we should step forward and push legislation that would correct that from a policy standpoint. And so that's the first thing. Are there people out there that say it is sinful to even go after any type of incremental approach? I guess there are those folks out there. I have not met them, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. So what Joe Carter goes further at the Gospel Coalition, he says the extreme immediate position believe that incrementalism is sinful, like I just said. The more moderate immediates simply believe that incrementalism is defeatist. In an article for First Things against pro-life incrementalists, Philip Jeffrey says, those arguing for incrementalism are right to point out that we don't live in an ideal world and must make pragmatic calculations about how to move the pro-life cause forward. But we must escape the defeatist mentality that animates incrementalism. We are not going to make progress if we do not take bold steps forward. And so the point here is, since 1973, has incremental approach worked? Yes. Since 1973, in some cases, has an immediate approach worked? Yes. And so it's interesting to me that within the pro-life movement, we're arguing with each other when ultimately the goal is the same, is to see abortion ended, to see abortion unthinkable. Not just against the law, but to see that it would be unthinkable in a civilized society. And so the issue I have is when we have staunch pro-lifers come out against the state of Alabama for pushing forward a bill that would outlaw abortion. Now, I would also have an issue with a pro-lifer coming out and not being in favor of a 20-week ban because they consider that to be an incremental approach and we're not for an incremental approach. In the state of Tennessee, since passing Amendment 1 just a few years ago, we went from being a destination state for abortion, one of the top 10 states in the country where people were driving and flying and coming to the state of Tennessee to receive an abortion. We were a destination. We were in effect a magnet for folks to come and get an abortion in the state of Tennessee. Since passing Amendment 1 and since passing a 20-week ban and since passing a 48-hour waiting period and since passing restrictions for abortion clinics where they have to meet certain codes of law and certain requirements, since passing those things, we are now in the bottom five of states when it comes to abortion. We saw the least amount of abortions we've ever pretty much ever seen as a state this past year. And so the approach that we are taking is working. But what that doesn't mean is that while we're doing the incremental approach, we should also be supporting heartbeat bills. We should be supporting bills that would also take it a little bit further. And so as we see with Alabama, and as we see with Georgia, and as we see with Louisiana, that are putting forth laws that say, in this state, we celebrate life. In this state, we value life. Life in the womb and life outside of the womb. And so is there a debate between those that would argue an incremental approach versus an immediate approach? Sure. We've had this, and I've talked about this in past shows. We had this during slavery. We had some people say, look, we're just going to incrementally take care of this. And we had others saying, look, it's not about incrementally taking care of this. We need to take care of this immediately. And ultimately, the sides will come together because we have a similar goal, the same goal, not just similar, but the same goal to see abortion ended and lives saved. And so, but I do encourage you to go read this piece by Joe Carter at the Gospel Coalition, because it will make you think. And he goes further, the case for incrementalism. He says, almost a decade ago, Justin Taylor interviewed Clark Forsythe, the pro-life lawyer who serves as the senior counsel for Americans United for Life. And Forsythe says political prudence challenges political leaders and voters with four questions. And these are the questions that when they're looking at policy, when they're looking at legislation, these are the questions that he wants asked. Are they pursuing good goals? Do they exercise wise judgment as to what's possible? Do they successfully connect means to end? Do they preserve the possibility of future progress when the ideal cannot be immediately achieved? And again, this goes back to what politics is. It's compromising. It's working out. It's having those conversations behind closed doors, on the floor of the House, on the floor of the Senate, with lobbyists and with activists. But look, folks, we have to, if we believe that lives are being ended via abortion, and that is what we believe, that is what I believe, then there, along with that incremental approach, we have to, if we believe the time is right, and if we believe that we're on the cusp of something from a Supreme Court standpoint, from a legislative standpoint, if we believe we have the makeup within the House and the Senate in our particular state, and with the governor saying, I'm going to sign this piece of legislation, if we have all those things put together, then it may be the time to make a move in an immediate sense when it comes to what the state of Alabama did. And so you can do both. We don't have to pit each other. We don't have to pit ourselves and our points against each other. We all have the same goal. And so am I an incrementalist? Yes. Do I want to see abortion ended immediately? Yes. I'm somewhere in between. And I'm going to be in favor of laws and legislative actions that are going to protect the most vulnerable in our society, which are those that are in the womb. We'll be back in a sec. Come on down. So hopefully that first segment, you get a better understanding of an incrementalist versus someone that would be for the immediate ending of abortion. And again, I think one thing about pro-lifers that I'll say is we're deep thinkers. And so what that means is we tend to argue amongst ourselves on the best path forward. And so because of that, some of those scrums occur in public, and it almost makes it look like we're not unified on the front of seeing abortion ended. And that's a mistake by us. And those conversations need to occur. Certainly we need to debate with each other within our movement, but we need to look unified. And we've seen over the last month or so within some of the pro-life movement, even here in the state of Tennessee, we have not looked unified because some have been in favor of certain bills, and some organizations, some people have actually come out and not just been against that bill, but openly argued for people not to support certain pro-life pieces of legislation. And so that's something we need to be careful with. We need to have those conversations, but we certainly are all unified in what we ultimately want to see. And we want to see babies saved. We want to see moms loved. We want to see families brought together and be intact. And that's a work that we have to, that's worth fighting for. And so we also have to recognize in our certain states, if we have a supermajority that are pro-life in the House and the Senate, and we have a pro-life governor, then maybe that's the time. Maybe that's the environment to pass some of that immediate legislation. Now, will it be fought in the courts? Absolutely. Is that going to cost money? Absolutely. Is it a fight worth having? I would argue it is. And so right now I want to shift gears a little bit and look at the abortion industry here lately have been pushing and going after pregnancy centers, not just here lately, but they've been doing this over the last couple of years. As if you'll remember, California actually passed a piece of legislation that directly attacked pregnancy centers and was going to force pregnancy centers not just to refer for abortion, but actually post in their lobby somewhere in their building phone numbers so that patients could call and get an abortion. And California also, they pay for it. The state will pay for an abortion. And so they were coercing and enforcing pregnancy centers, pro-life pregnancy centers, to go against everything they stand for, go against their own values, and refer out and almost promote abortion. And so we fought that in the courts. NIFLA, one of the large pregnancy center umbrella organizations, fought that along with Alliance Defending Freedom, and we won. And I joined them in Washington on the steps of the Supreme Court at a rally to argue in favor of pregnancy centers and religious liberty and freedom of speech, and we won that case and are thankful for that. But since then, it hasn't ended, as we've seen other states try to do the same. And then here recently, we have seen where the abortion industry are now handing out flyers. And at the top of the flyer, I'll just read you what it says. At the top of the flyer, it says, "Crisis pregnancy centers." And then it goes further, "Are anti-choice, anti-abortion, faith-based, fake clinics." Okay, so here's the thing. I'll just slowly walk you through this. Are pro-life pregnancy centers anti-choice? Of course not. Of course not. When people walk in the doors of a pregnancy center, they have every right and ability to leave our building and go to an abortion clinic. They had every right and ability to go to the abortion clinic before they came to us. They have every right and ability to choose life or to choose to terminate or to choose adoption. So we are certainly not anti-choice. What we are is anti-ending the life of another individual. That's what we are anti. And so are we anti-abortion? They called us anti-abortion on this flyer. I want to respond to that. Yes. Yes, I am 100% anti-abortion. Are we faith-based? Yes, we don't hide that fact. Are we a fake clinic? You know, it's interesting you would call a pregnancy center a fake clinic. Come on over to Hope and you'll meet three nurse practitioners that have gone to school, that are licensed, that are overseen by physicians that oversee our everything we do medically. We have a medical executive board, and that's made up of OBs and physicians. We also have four nurses, registered nurses on staff as well, that have gone through school, that have the proper documentation, that are licensed and have met all of their continuing education requirements. So it's not a fake clinic. What a fake clinic would look like would be me in the pregnancy, in the exam room, giving an ultrasound. Well, that would be a fake clinic because, guess what, political scientist, that's what my degree's in. I am not a medical professional. So we only use medical professionals when we have medical exams. And so we are not a fake clinic. And then they say this. They say that there's no oversight, that financial oversight of taxpayer-funded pregnancy resource centers is severely lacking. In some states, no one has any idea where the money given to these centers is going or how it is being spent. First off, I can speak for Hope Resource Center. We don't receive any money from the government at all. So there are no resources from the state of Tennessee, no resources from the federal government, no resources from taxpayer dollars coming to Hope Resource Center. So this just doesn't make any sense. Also, we don't charge a dime for any of our services. And so all of our services are at no cost. What I do know is Planned Parenthood receives half a billion dollars a year from the government. And I don't know where that money goes. So where's the oversight on that? Now, they would argue that no taxpayer dollars are going to abortion, but we know that budgets are fungible, right? So if I receive money from someone and I say, you know what, I'm going to use some of my money to go do very bad things, but I won't use your money, but I'm going to put your money in the same bank account as the other money. Well, what is your money allowing me to do? Your money is allowing me to do bad things. So $500 million to the largest abortion provider in the country is allowing them to what? Guess what? It is allowing them to perform more abortions. Okay, then they say that pregnancy centers, there's no honesty. They call us crisis pregnancy centers, deliberately lie about the medical effects of abortion and about how far women are into their pregnancy. So they think they have more time to make a choice about abortion than they actually do. Here's the thing. We don't lie to anybody. Abortion ends a life every single time. That's not a lie. That's the truth. What we do know is the abortion industry will fib a little bit when it comes to how far along someone is so that they can perform certain abortions, whether it be a medical abortion or a surgical abortion. And so we are honest at the pregnancy center that I serve at. It says no choices. They advise women who have been sexually assaulted not to use emergency contraception. Beyond this, they won't suggest any women use contraception for health issues or to prevent pregnancy. That's not true either. It's just blatantly not true. What we do know is the abortion industry, they've been caught multiple times on camera actually helping an abuser continue to abuse someone. They've been caught on camera with giving information to minors that they shouldn't have been given. They've been caught on camera actually helping pimps help get their prostitutes abortions so that they can get back out on the streets. And so that's what we do know occurs in the abortion industry. They say that there's no privacy. It says pregnancy centers collect the same detailed personal medical information as a clinic, but are not required to keep it private like a doctor's office is. Well, that's just flat wrong. We have constant meetings and conversations about HIPAA. We are required to meet HIPAA guidelines. Our medical electronic records are compliant with everything we need to be compliant with when it comes to HIPAA. So again, this is just not true. And I will go further about this flyer and the myths that the abortion industry are spreading on pregnancy centers when we come back.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies. Peace, hallelujah.
Maybe we just the rest of the show we listen to Need to Breathe. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we just need to breathe. Maybe that is what I need to do. You know, I get riled up. I was on the sister station this morning, 92.3, talking with State Representative Jason Zachary and Rich DeForest, and got a little riled up as I do when we talk about these issues. And so, but I do want to point out that we are. If I was handing out flyers about the abortion industry, there's a really good chance that cable news would pick that up if the pro-life movement was handing out flyers that just completely were lies and weren't even true. It'd be different if they handed out something and it was they were telling the truth, and I'd be like, well, you got me. But I'm going through it word for word, and it's just not true. The last thing I mentioned was no privacy. Well, we are required to meet the guidelines. Our medical professionals on our staff would risk their license if they sold information or sent out information. So that's not true either. So it says no separation. These are faith-based organizations that oppose abortion. They have religious missions and say they express the love of Jesus Christ. Funding them with taxpayer money is a clear violation of separation of church and state. That's not true. You can call... first off, we don't receive taxpayer money, so we are a faith-based organization. We're not going to hide from that. I believe that everyone we come in contact with bears the image of our God. I believe that the gospel transforms and turns dead people into live people. I believe all of those things. And we don't receive a dime from taxpayers. And so, but besides that, the pro-life, I mean, the pro-choice, the abortion industry They may say that they're secular. They may say they're not Christian. They are certainly religious. They are evangelicals when it comes to sharing the news of abortion. And so I could argue that it's a religion for them, and they themselves should not be receiving funds. And I don't even have to go into that separation of church and state is a myth. It's not written anywhere in the Constitution. And the whole point of the letter that was written that focused on separation of church and state is that we would have a country not ran by a pope. That we would have a country that was not a theocracy. That the president would not say, okay, everyone must be Southern Baptist. No, that's what the separation meant. It had nothing to do with praying at school. It had nothing to do with Ten Commandments being in certain places. None of that. And so it's important that we recognize that as well. Then you flip over this flyer and it says, crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy counseling centers mislead and coerce people facing unintended pregnancies to believe that they are visiting a neutral and objective medical facility. What is the name of the place that I work at? It is Hope. Hope Resource Center. We're not hiding the fact that we believe there's something greater out there. We're not misleading anyone. We pray with folks. Like we're not being dishonest there. So it says know the facts. This is what their flyer says. There are around 4,000 of these operations across the U.S. Yeah, close. They position themselves as small, local, volunteer-run, but more than 70% are affiliated with large, well-resourced networks providing funding and legal muscle. It's funny to me. it's laughable, really. The large organizations that they're talking about, they would be referring to CareNet. They would be referring to NIFLA, Heartbeat International. Okay, CareNet is I guess some would call it a large organization. They don't have a large staff. They don't have tons of resources, unlimited resources. I receive actually no money at all from CareNet. We pay every single year to be a part of CareNet. We receive no money from CareNet. NIFLA, we pay to be a part of NIFLA. We receive no money from NIFLA. NIFLA has like 5 employees. And that is what they're calling legal muscle. Now, they're calling it that because NIFLA, along with ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, won at the Supreme Court on that case out of California. So, yeah, they have brains, and they're really good at what they do. But to say that they're well-resourced and have unlimited amount of funds is laughable and dishonest. That is just not true. And so it's important to note that. We're not receiving. Now, hear me. Pregnancy centers in the pro-life movement are not receiving $500 million every single year from the government. It's just not happening. Then they argue that 80% of pregnancy center websites have false or misleading information. Well, that's not true. Have they visited all of them? That would be my question. Have you visited every single website of those 4,000 pregnancy centers that you mentioned? I doubt it. They say nationally, an estimated $60 million in federal abstinence and marriage promotion funds have been directed to pregnancy centers. Well, that's awful. 60 million. Okay. And Planned Parenthood receives 500 million. It's a bit of a difference there. And again, Hope Resource Center, we don't receive any money from the taxpayer. It says one in Pennsylvania faced no repercussions after losing track of $1 million taxpayer dollars. Now, that's awful. And if a pregnancy center did that, they don't need to lose track of $1 million. But if you want to talk about people not receiving repercussions, what about the abortion clinics across the country where women have died? What about those repercussions? And y'all are receiving money from taxpayers. What about the Kermit Gosnell that was allowed to operate and work in Philadelphia for 20 plus years until finally somebody went in there looking about prescription abuse and they saw all the other stuff that we've come to know is the worst serial killer the country has ever seen. And then they say 87% claim abortion leads to breast cancer and future infertility, even though medical studies backed by the Mayo Clinic and American Cancer Society have repeatedly found no such links. Well, that's not true, and that's up for debate. There are some people that certainly argue there is a connection. There are some people that argue there isn't, and that's, again, up for debate. It says other scare tactics include citing the non-existent mental illness post-abortion syndrome and lying about risk of substance abuse or self-harm. Okay, this particular one makes me think they've never talked to someone that has had an abortion. You can't out of one side of your mouth say, no one wants an abortion, and out of the other side of your mouth say, there's no lasting ramifications of having said abortion. First off, if there's no ramifications, if life isn't lost, if nobody is impacted, if there's no mental health issue, then why wouldn't anybody want an abortion? Why would it be bad? Why would they need to be safe, legal, or rare? Why couldn't they just be all the time? Because nothing's really happening. Why are there post-abortive organizations, ministries, and other organizations that are constantly seeing people reach out to them? How come when I speak at different events, I always have people come up to me afterwards with tears in their eyes because they are post-abortive and they've talked about the carrying the burden of that for years and years and years? How come when patients come to Hope that are post-abortive, they look at us with tears in their eyes and they talk about the what they have had to deal with since that decision? So it's unfair, and it's certainly not pro-woman to say that abortion, and certainly not pro-man either, to say that abortion has no lasting ramifications, not to mention the life that is ended via abortion. And then they argue that staff are rarely medically trained, and in one report it says the staff member performing a sonogram identified a woman's IUD as a fetus. Now hear me when I say this. I can't speak for all pregnancy centers. I'm sure there are pregnancy centers out there that have folks that are not well trained. At Hope Resource Center, you will not provide an ultrasound. You will not provide a medical service without the proper training, without the proper licensing, and all of those things. It's just not going to happen. What I do know is in the abortion industry, there are people giving ultrasounds. Go listen to Abby Johnson's story. There are people giving and providing ultrasounds that are not medical professionals. What I do know in Kermit Gosnell's office in Philadelphia, there was 15 and 16-year-olds working in there providing medicine, and they didn't have a clue what type of medicine to give people, and they would color on the labels so that the 14 and 15-year-old would know how many pills to give to certain patients. Now, that was happening, but they're not mentioning that on this flyer. They then argued that our tactics target low-income people or others without regular access to health care through strategic advertising online and in poor communities. And they say even geofencing digital ads to reach people sitting in legitimate clinics. Now here, look at a map of where abortion clinics are. And what you'll find is the vast majority of abortion clinics are in low-income areas. The vast majority of abortion clinics are in minority areas. You don't think Planned Parenthood's using geofencing? You don't think they're using Google ads? But it's okay for them to do that. It's not okay for a pro-life organization to do that. I mean, give me a break. Local governments have had to intervene to block their false and malicious advertising methods. Well, the local governments that have done that, first off, they're not false. Second, they're doing that because they... abortion lobbyists have come in and fought for that. It says their goal is not to educate and inform, but to stall, deceive, evade, lecture, and manipulate. Everything but share honest information and care. Well, that is not true. Believe me, that's not true. We're not deceiving anyone. We're not stalling anyone. We're not lecturing anyone. You know what we are doing? You know what real care is? Real care is saying, you have three options in front of you. And no matter the option you choose, to parent this child, to end this pregnancy, to have an abortion, or to choose adoption, regardless of the choice you make today, your life will never be the same. And if you choose life, we're going to be here for you. If you choose abortion, we're going to be here for you. If you choose adoption, we're going to be here for you. So for the people that say, well, all you care about is baby. Once baby's here, you're not going to do anything. Well, guess what? We just had 12 baby showers last week. We did 64 last year. We're on pace to do that many or more this year. And we tell every patient, if you run out of diapers, come back. If you run out of wipes, come back. If you need anything from us, come back. We want to see pictures of your baby. We want to see pictures of your family. We want a relationship with you. Why do we do that? Because we care deeply about them. And so they can hand these flyers out. And so the flyers upset me because they're untrue. But these flyers also show me and prove to me when I say that we're on a cusp of seeing something amazing happening in the Life Movement, this points to that being true. Folks, I had a conversation today with the general manager of the Light FM, which is another station, and I know I probably shouldn't talk about another radio station while I'm on a radio station, but they brought us a check for $32,000. And we talked about being bold in what we're saying and that we are on the cusp of something amazing happening. And it's a fight worth having. It's a debate worth having. But what I told them was, as Christians, we operate in a posture of victory, not defeat. We know how this ends. We know how this ends. And so we're gonna do everything we can to see that life is celebrated, to see that image bearers are loved and served and cared for in this community. And we're gonna do that with victory in our sight because we know how it ends. And this flyer right here that I've been going through, it just shows that they also know that we're on the cusp of seeing some amazing thing happen when it comes to life. We'll finish up when we come back.
I praise you in the morning. I praise you in the noontime. I'll praise you when the sun sets. I'll praise you when the night falls. Yeah. I'll praise you in the morning. I'll praise you in the noontime. I'll praise you when the sun sets. Yes. I'll praise you when the night falls and I won't get tired.
So as we finish up today, I hope that you better understand incrementalism. Maybe before listening to the show, you never even heard of that term when it came to the pro-life movement. But also, I hope you understand where we're coming from when you may receive one of these flyers. I don't know if any are being handed out in the area or not. I know this particular one that I have is focused more in the state of New York. And so when you get a chance to have conversations about life, especially if folks are trying to paint pregnancy centers as these terrible places that coerce, or terrible places that lie, or they're just a bunch of religious zealots, or if they say, well, all they are anti-abortion. First off, if they say that, say yes, we do not provide abortions, and yes, we are anti-abortion. I'm not going to hide from that. But I would say that it's important that you ask a couple questions. Have you ever been to a pregnancy center? Have you ever talked with someone that has worked at a pregnancy center? Have you ever, do you even know what a pregnancy center does? And many of the folks will say, no, I've never been. I had a conversation one time and a guy was upset about what we do, and he had all these talking points, some of the talking points that I mentioned here, and he threw them all out at me, and I looked at him and I said, have you ever heard of Hope? Have you ever heard of Hope Resource Center? Or is today the first time you've heard of it? Have you ever visited our website? And he said, well, I just heard you speak. I was like, that's it. That's the only thing you know about Hope. Well, yeah. Well, then I'm sorry. Let's go read a little bit, go talk about it, and then we'll come back and we can have this discussion. But it's not helpful if people are giving out untruths and misleading people. It's always important too. Look, for the worst thing that a pregnancy center does, right? And so if there are pregnancy centers out there that are having, that have bad situations or dirty, offices, or they don't have medical professionals, they're not being overseen by doctors, I will call them out. Okay. I have conversations all the time to make sure that pregnancy centers are doing everything above board. But listen, even in those cases, not one heartbeat's ended. Right? So no life is ended in a pregnancy center. Period. Full stop. End of story. So even in the worst pregnancy center that I might even argue, if it's doing some of those things, should close its doors. It wouldn't be closing because a life ended. But folks, every single day in abortion clinics across this country, roughly 3,000 abortions occur. Every single day. And at least once a month, I read a report where a botched abortion occurred and a woman loses her life. A baby loses its life. They thought the woman wasn't as far along as she really was, and so it ends up being a late-term abortion, creating complications. But in all 3,000 abortions every single day, that's 3,000 heartbeats. That's 3,000 individuals that have never been created before, will never be created again. So if you were to put a flyer together and you wanted to say what abortion clinics are, you could say 3,000 heartbeats extinguished daily. You wouldn't have to say anything else. That's all it would say. I wouldn't have to go into they're coercing people, they're manipulating people. All I would say is 3,000 heartbeats extinguished a day. And so I'm not going to apologize for the work we do at Hope. I am grateful for places like Hope Resource Center all across this country. I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'm grateful for the staff that we have that get up every single day praying over our patients, crying tears over our patients in their current situation, looking to find help for our patients in their current situation, getting them out of addiction, getting them out of abusive relationships, helping them when they choose life. Helping them when they choose adoption, helping them even if they leave our building and go get an abortion. We don't give up on them. And so no matter what some folks would like to paint as the pregnancy center movement, what I know of the movement that I'm a part of every single day is that it is God's work. And it is making a difference. Your partnership, your donations are making a difference. When we had those 12 baby showers last week and we watched those young ladies open up those gifts and tears come up in their eyes as they are blown away at the support that strangers have for them. You make those things happen. And we're grateful for that. We'll talk to you next week.
Praise you when the sun sets. Praise you when the night falls. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the noontime. I'll praise you when the sun sets, I'll praise you when the night falls, and I won't.